Blog Talk Radio.
June 26, 2013. I'm going to have to shout because there's guys pounding the pavement in front of my window again. Every summer they rip up the street. I don't like it, but I can handle it. I read an article yesterday. Let me get right into it. I read an article yesterday on LinkedIn by a career coach who was on a panel with a headhunter, and she didn't like that guy because he said, when I call you, you better pick up the phone because recruiters are the best chance you have of getting a job. And when I ask for a referral, you better give me one because you're going to need a headhunter someday. And when that day comes, you want me to be your friend. Well, the career coach who wrote the article, she disagreed. She said job hunters don't need headhunters and headhunters don't need job hunters. And I agree with her. Headhunters don't have any magic power to get you a job, and you can do them a million favors. You can give them a million referrals, and they won't be able to do anything for you if you're no good or if no one is looking for someone like you. And, you know, headhunters, we don't need you, job hunters. We don't need you because we specialize in recruiting people who already have jobs and won't respond to ads. That's why people hire us. So I was agreeing with this lady, but then she went crazy. She went haywire. She said when a headhunter calls you, your first question should be, hey, Mr. Headhunter, how many people have you placed with this employer in the past year? But what's the point of that? Why is that important? I might be dealing with this company for the very first time. That doesn't mean I can't make a match. If you've got the skills I need, why can't I get you hired? Then the career coach says, the second question you should ask the headhunter, how many people have you placed for this hiring manager in the past year? It's not good enough to have worked with that company. She wants to know how many times you worked with the hiring manager because that indicates that you've got influence and you only want to work with the recruiter who has juice. That's what she calls it. Yeah. Then she says if you finally decide to work with this headhunter, you have to get them to specify in writing that you got to give written approval. He has to get written approval from you every time he or she wants to send your resume out. And you have to tell that headhunter that once she sends out your resume, you expect to hear from her at least once a week, whether there's any news to tell or not. Now, you know, it's not unreasonable to tell someone you want to stay in touch, but not in a bossy way, not like she tells you to. I would deal with a candidate like that if I had to, but I hate his guts. And that's exactly the kind of person I would expect to try to cheat me. I've had candidates like that. Once they get ruled out, these bossy ones, you know, they get ruled out because they're not the best person on the list. They try to go directly to the employer and tell them what a lousy recruiter you are because you can't see their value when it's staring you in the face. So if you take this career counselor's advice, I'm going to wrap up. If you take her advice and ask me stupid questions and treat me in a bossy way, I might present you, but I'll probably tell my client to watch out because you have a bad attitude. Yeah. And you know what? This career counselor, she's got a bad attitude. A year or two ago, she was scheduled, inside story, to be a guest on this show. So I gave her some info about my own background just to let her know I knew what I was up to. And she canceled. She canceled in a huff. And you know why? She thought I was bragging. She told me that. I don't need to deal with some braggart, she said. And you know what? It's probably better that she didn't come on, because if she couldn't handle that, she couldn't handle anything on Jerry. Jerry! What show is this?
is the Recruiting Animal Show.
Nice way to fade me out there. You got some heavy-duty controls. That's cool. That was cool.
Yeah. What a career coach. Hey, do you have any news for us about William Tin Cup this week?
Actually, yes. 25 days ago, he began his, I don't want to say sabbatical, just a clean break. He was shutting it all off, okay? And I wanted to announce his progress. Prior to his sabbatical, he was tweeting 93 times a day.
Yeah.
That's a lot, and I can see why you could take a break from that. He has successfully dropped that number to 89 times a day in his absence. So
we've
missed about 120 to 160 of his personal tweets, though you can still find nearly 3,000 of his Robotron cyborg tweets sprinkled throughout the Twitter community.
Thank you very much.
Way to go,
okay,
Bill.
Way
to go, Bill.
Great. We'll go straight to our guest. Josh Patrick, are you here?
Yep.
Oh, you are?
I need more than that, man. Get pumped up.
Get pumped
Josh
up.
Josh Patrick, are you here?
I'm too old to be pumped up.
I don't think so.
How
you
old are you?
You don't have to ask him.
I'm 60.
No ages.
60,
okay.
That's cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you bring a song, Josh?
Did I bring a
we
song?
You must have. I told you to prepare.
I can promise you something. You don't want me to sing.
Yeah,
I want
everybody to sing. I'll tell you what.
No,
we'll
no,
sing
you
a
don't
Ron
want me to sing.
Okay.
I can sing in all keys and five notes.
You know, to do rock, you know, this is our culture test. If the person doesn't want to sing, it's a bad sign, okay? So, you know the song, To Do Ron Ron? You only have to sing the chorus. You know, at you're 60 years old, you must remember that song.
Actually,
do
I
Ron,
don't,
Ron.
But that's okay.
You
no,
don't
I,
know
not,
that song? What song do you know? She
my,
loves
that,
you? She loves
not my
you?
Thing.
Can we do?
No, try a Grateful Dead song. Maybe you'll get me.
I don't know any Grateful Dead. Truckin'. You know that song?
Well, I know the song, but you're not going to get me to sing it.
What kind of person are you? I don't get it.
Dude, he's old, man. He's clearly stated that early on. He's old.
I'm a certified no-fun type of guy.
You're a baby boomer. You're supposed to like that kind of music from the 60s. Come on.
Yeah, well, supposed to and is are two different things, man.
I met her on a Monday, and my heart stood still. Go on. Go ahead. Go ahead. Say it with me. You just have to talk it, and I'll let you go. The do, run, run, run.
Run, 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 run.
Somebody told
now?
Me that her name was Jill. Come on. The do, run, run, run. Come on. Okay, man. That's bad. Now, I have to tell everybody, Josh is a little different from most of our guests. Josh runs a company called Stage 2 Planning. You can find it at stage2planning.com. I'm not sure what they do. He'll tell us in a minute. But
are they
in
South Burlington, Vermont?
I think that's
they
it.
Are in
yeah.
South Burlington. Or we,
okay.
are, we right. are in South Burlington,
I thought,
Vermont.
Yeah, I thought I've heard of that.
Okay, Animal, can we just get to his spam strategies?
He writes a blog for the New York Times. That's classy for this show. I mean, we've got some PhDs who come on here now and again, but this guy writes for the New York Times. Really, that's something. That's a first for us. And I saw an article he wrote called The Meaning of Corporate Culture, so I asked him if he would come on and talk about hiring for culture, and he said no, but I bugged him until he changed his mind, and I hope we're not going to be sorry that he did, because, Josh, you know, they rate me at the end of the show, and if they don't like you, they don't like me, right? So my fate lies on your hands. Don't let me down.
We want to make sure you're well-loved.
Don't let me down.
We'll make sure you're well-loved. How's that? Hmm.
Okay, Mike Aestringer, that guy who just criticized you before he knows anything about you, he wants to do an ad. Do you want to go ahead, Mike, with your ad, please, quickly?
I just want to throw out there to your expansive audience that I need a contract recruiter in New York City, 3 to 6 months, startup experience and experience recruiting sales and marketing candidates. Shoot me an email, mike.astringer at humancapitalconsultants.com if you're interested, and thank you, Animal.
What about that
okay.
kid from last week? He was
so
in New York.
Talk about that on your show, Jerry. Talk about that on your show, Jerry.
This
and
is my.
Right.
This is our show. Your show and my show. Our show.
We got to get going. Josh, I have defined corporate culture or business culture as ideas that determine behavior at work. Is that fair, yes or no?
Ideas are defined. What?
Determine, not define, determine behavior at work. You've got a certain idea that the boss is the boss. You can't say no to him. That's an idea, and that play as it lays out at work is that you're a submissive person or you take orders well or whatever you want to call it. It's an idea that governs your behavior.
I wouldn't call that – no, I would say no. That's not culture. Culture is how things are done in a company. And then there's actually two types of culture. There's the real culture of how stuff actually happens, and then there's the crap that management says is culture. And rarely are the two the same. Now, let me give you an example. Let's say I've decided I own this company, I own XYZ company, and I've decided that being personally responsible is something that's really important. But every time you make a mistake, I assassinate you. So when you make a mistake, what are you likely to do?
I don't know. Hide it?
Swill whiskey until late at night.
Yeah, you might
commit suicide.
Do you think you might stick your head under a table, or do you think you might try to find someone else to blame, or some way to justify what went wrong so you don't get killed?
Yeah, right. I'll blame somebody. That's
yeah.
right. That's one. We'll, I. That's we'll what I.
Back. Okay. So here we have. We have the boss is saying personal responsibility is a value that we really have that's really high, but when you make a mistake, the boss comes in and kills you.
Okay.
So you've got two cultures. So you've got a perceived culture, and then you've got the real culture. The real culture is don't take personal responsibility, don't tell the truth, because if you do, you're going to get killed.
Right. We got it.
So if you're going to be doing this sort of stuff, you have to be consistent. You have to kind of walk your talk a lot. So,
right, but your point is, one of your points is that companies lie about their culture quite regularly. Is that true?
Yeah, they do. I mean, all the time.
Do they know they're lying? Are they deluded about their own companies, or do they deliberately lie?
Well, there's both, but mostly they're deluded. I mean, you know, there are some companies out there who are, you know, really nefarious and they're just lying sacks of garbage. And then there are other companies out there who think they're doing something, but they're really not. You know, for example, I recently was been hanging around with a company where one of their, you know, values, their what I call fit factors, corporate culture thing is, we're a learning organization. Well, they're not a learning organization. They might want to be a learning organization someday. They might be taking steps towards being a learning organization, but they're not a learning organization. And the problem with that is all the people working on the line know this is true, and to them it's all BS. It's the newest thing that's coming out of manager's mouth this week. So if you say, gee, I want to change our corporate culture, and I want to become a learning organization, then say that.
Yeah, but what we're doing here, we don't want to change
the
corporate culture. We're going to go now. We got established that companies lie. We know what a corporate culture is. We're going to figure out how to hire for the corporate culture. But I want to introduce, I think we've got a special guest here today, superstar, webinar leader, Donato Diorio. Are you here?
I am here.
About this show. Are you here? Do you have anything to say to Josh at this point?
I am sitting back and learning and assessing, do I have a BS culture or do I have a real culture? So,
okay, yeah, but you're on a snooze fast, so we can't really trust anything you say, right?
You can't trust anything I say today.
Okay.
But there's a really pretty easy way to figure that out, by the way.
Okay, go ahead.
If you've got a real culture,
he runs a business of his own. Go ahead.
Well, okay. Tell me a little bit about your business.
We're a software company that builds technology for recruiting and also in the sales space.
Okay. So if you were to say, what kind of traits would it take for somebody to fit into your company well?
Be a little off.
Okay,
reject from every other organization. I'd say our culture is very work hard, play hard, really. Do stuff outside together. I did the juice fast, then like three other people said, hey, I'm gonna do that too. So we're I think we're on a mission and we believe in the mission.
If somebody's not a play hard guy, they just work hard.
That's okay. I mean, a lot of us, you know, I got four kids, and sometimes I'm not playing as hard as the rest of them. So
it was a note of
kind of stuff.
Your voice. When he asked, that was a great question.
Sorry, Kathy, what did you say?
I was going to say that there was a hint of hesitation in his answer, and I thought it was a great question because, you know, if you don't follow the juice fast or if you don't want to play after work, do you fit into your company culture?
Yeah.
Sure.
I thought that was typical. For me, that was typical. It was typical, vague. I mean, really didn't mean anything. And if you hire somebody who does the job, he'll hire the guy, and that's the only thing that counts. I mean, I don't know. Anybody else get anything out of that? Sorry.
It's not the only thing that counts. If, for example, you really have a work hard, play hard culture, and you're not willing to play hard, the culture's going to shoot you out. We have a company in town. And I can say this because they're not my client, Dealer.com, software company, provides web solutions for car dealers. And they do have a work hard, play hard culture. And if you're not a hard player, you're not going to make it there. It's that simple. You could be the hardest worker in the world, but if you don't screw around when the rest of the guys are screwing around and want to screw around, you're going to get forced out.
Really?
So
okay. I agree
yeah,
with you.
Really?
Absolutely.
Really?
I never heard of such a thing. So, but anyway, the point is with Donato, what you just did, you said, tell us about your culture, and he told you, and that can't be it, because I know you've got a formula, right, for analyze. Not everybody can tell you anything. You want to know more than he told you as well, right?
Yeah, I would have asked him a whole bunch of follow-up questions.
So let's go through the questions. Let's go through the questions. That's the important thing on this show. You talk about fit, number one, fit factors, right?
Yeah.
Is that the number one thing?
That is the number one thing. If you don't fit in, you can't hire the person.
Yeah, but okay, the fit factors, according to you, are the technical skills that make you successful in the job. Am I right?
Can do are the technical skills. Can you do the technical things that require for the job?
Those are the can-do factors. Then there's fit factors, and then there's will-do factors. So what are the fit factors?
Yes.
They're personal traits?
Well, they're not personal traits. They're corporate traits. Now, for example, let's say I was hiring a CFO, and the fit factors will be the same for every person that works in the company, no matter what job they have. So let's say I've got five fit factors I wrote down for this mythical CFO I'm hiring, which is for my company. These were the fit factors for my vending company when I had that. Number one was showing personal responsibility. Two, believes in lifelong learning. Three, shows respect for others and their ideas. Four is knows that customers are the reason the company exists. Five, understands the importance of mistakes as learning opportunities. If I'm hiring somebody and they don't score high on all five of those areas, they are not going to fit into my company. They're going to cause me all sorts of problems along the way. And eventually I'm going to have to fire them, no matter how technically competent they are.
Okay, so the obvious question to me at this point is, those are pretty sophisticated questions. How do I get the candidate to answer them?
I get them to tell me stories. And you have to become a sophisticated listener to do this. This is not, for beginners. This is for advanced interview people.
Well, you gave a list for the CFO. I want to go through those one by one. Anybody else, you guys are, might be getting bored. Those are the right questions. That's what I want to know. How is he going to take that list and deal with a candidate? Right?
That's a great question. And I also want to know, just to piggyback, which question would really be a knockout question out of those five?
All five. Any one of them. If you don't get an 8 or above on a scale of 10, with 10 being the highest, it's a knockout.
Okay, let's go.
On any one of them.
What's the first question?
Okay,
what's so
my first question is, tell me about some time in your life or at work, I don't really care which, where things didn't go awfully well. Tell me a story about that.
Uh-huh. So what kind of answer did you get? Okay.
Well, you're going to tell me a story, and I'm going to be listening very carefully to your story, because I want to say, you know, when things didn't go very well, I had to take the bull by the horns and do something about it, or something
mm-hmm.
like that. Or
yeah.
if they said, you know, my boss was being a real jerk, and he wouldn't let me do blah, 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 blah,
uh-huh.
or, you know, I really did my best. But I had a coworker that wasn't especially effective at what they were doing. That shows me they're more than willing to blame or justify what their behavior is, and that's not showing personal responsibility.
You know what the reality is? The reality is, Josh, that you're a member of a team, and sometimes if you don't get any cooperation, you're going to screw up, right? It could be your boss. You have a jerk boss.
That may be reality, but I'll tell you something. If you don't at least pretend you're responsible, there isn't a snowball's chance in the world that you're going to do anything about it, because you're just going to sit there and blame and justify your way through the issue.
Anybody who reads an article by a career coach, they're going to tell you to pick an answer that, you know, shows you off as an independent, rugged individualist who can handle anything that comes their way. That you're going to get a bullshit answer if you ask me. I don't know.
Can you say that on your show, BS?
Whoa, this is a family show.
This is a family
show. I'm sorry. It just made me angry. I'm sorry.
Maybe I'll get a BS answer the first time around, but when I drill down, which is what I'm going to do, which is basically tell me more, you're going to screw up. If you're not consistent, that's not the way you really are, you're going to screw up, and I'm going to catch
you.
If I catch you in inconsistency, which I'm going to do, they're going to ask you. It's really hard to remember your lies. If you're telling the truth, it's pretty easy. If you're telling a lie, you're telling me a story, you're likely to get caught in your story.
Okay, so
you can't sit there and take that first answer and say, oh, wow, I've been waiting for that answer all day long. You have to follow it up with another question.
Okay. So you really asked this to somebody. You hired somebody for a position in your company, and you use that question. Am I right?
I use that question every person I hired in my company.
Okay, well, give us a real example then of somebody who screwed up.
They'd come up and they say, you know, I'd sit there and I'd have a guy come in and say, let's say I hired him for a route driver, and he was working for a bread company. And I'd say, tell me something about, you know, your job where you used to work. And he might say, oh, it was a good job. I kind of liked it. And I would say, well, tell me something. Did anything ever go wrong there? And he would say, yeah, things would sometimes go wrong. And I'd say, well, tell me more. And then he'd start telling me a little bit more about what's going wrong. And I'd say, well, gee, it sounds to me like your boss was not very cooperative. Now, I'm building a rapport while I'm doing this with these folks. And they're going to make a mistake. If he really believed that, you know, if this guy really took responsibility for what he did, he would say, no, my boss was, you know, actually okay. You know, a lot of times things went wrong and it was my fault. Or he'd say, no, my boss was, you're right, my boss was kind of hard to get along with.
Okay, so you give him a chance to blame it on you. You give him a chance. I'm in charge, okay? You give him a chance to blame somebody else, and if he swallows the bait, then you say, this guy's no good. Or he says, I was at fault. But what if he says it's his fault? Then you rule him out for being lousy, right?
No,
what if it was
John,
the other guy's fault?
Absolutely not, because I want another fifth factor here is understanding the importance of mistakes as learning opportunities.
Okay, well, Jerry made a point.
I want people to be making mistakes in my company.
Talent talks. Hey, when I talk, you listen, okay? I'm leading the show. Yeah, Talent Talks, our friend on Twitter, and there's a lot of action on Twitter. And she says, it sounds like Josh hires the person who gives the best interview answer, not the person with the real-world battle scars. And that's what Jerry said. You could be taking a beating from some stupid boss, but if you tell you the truth, you're not interested in the guy. That's what it sounds like. That's what it sounds like to us, okay? So what's that next question that you gave us, or the next issue? The first one was personal responsibility. What's the next one?
Yeah. Believe in lifelong learning.
Whatever, it's a root driver, just like the guy you just said. We don't usually deal with people like that, so that's not a fair question for us. Go ahead. Belief in lifelong learning, what does that mean?
Well, somebody who's curious.
Uh-huh. So give us a real-life example. Since you use these, give us an example that you've had people, you can use people who struck out rather than people you hired and have working for you now. Give us an example of someone you asked that question
to. Okay, you know, I might ask somebody, said, you know, what was the last book you read?
Where the Red Fern Grows, 1986.
Okay, cool.
And it made me cry.
Okay, and you wouldn't hire somebody. Jerry doesn't read books, okay? He wouldn't read my book.
If they don't read books, I might say, you know...
I'm a voracious periodicals reader.
Tell me about the favorite seminar you ever went to.
I don't go to seminars.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Actually,
So what you're saying to me, Jerry, is that last time you learned something was 30 years ago.
I learned something probably every 5 minutes.
Jerry,
I don't need six hours of in-my-face education. I pick it and choose it from all kinds of sources all day long. That's why I like
Twitter
magazines.
Twitter.
I read Inc. magazine, Entrepreneur magazine, Wired magazine. I read all kinds of magazines all day long, picking up little bits of information all day long.
So after you read those magazines, what do you do with the information?
I don't know. how would I know? What do you mean? What do I do with it?
What do you do with it? I mean,
I remember
just,
it.
Sit there.
I talk about it. If it's something that's interesting, what do you do with a novel when you read it? What do you mean?
How does it help you? Does it help you? I mean, you spend all this time
reading stuff. Sometimes. I mean,
okay.
I don't sit here with a log of all the stuff I read in Wired magazine and how it helped me this month. It might.
Okay. Well,
sometimes it'll tell me about companies on the move or new technologies or, you know, different business management insight. I might learn about cash flow management.
Jerry, you can't give a real example. Jerry can't give a real example. I have to tell you the truth. I can.
What do you mean, real example of what I do with the information I read in a magazine?
He's asking you for a real example. He's asking you. Okay.
Hey,
don't hold on. What have you used? And you can't remember one thing that you actually used that you read. Oh, yeah, I read this, I read that. I'm learning every 5 minutes, and you don't remember learning one specific thing. I would rule you out.
Animal, you're surprised that Jerry failed?
No, Jerry hasn't. First of all, Jerry hasn't failed because we haven't asked enough questions. We're just getting started on this issue.
How does not running some written inventory of what I do with all of the information I learned from reading magazines and newspapers, what did you do with the information that you learned from reading the newspaper yesterday, Animal? What did you do with that information? How did you store that information?
That's the problem for me. I can read a bunch of interesting articles during the day, and if I go out with people at night, I have nothing to talk about because I just don't process them in a way.
Oh, but if you read a novel with your pinky out, you'd be all set, and you'd be ready to just engage in conversation for hours?
I don't know.
I see.
I think he means something different, like with work-related material. That's what I think. If you subscribe to a website that's got articles about your technical specialty.
I'll tell you what I did. About maybe a week ago, I read an article on how to properly secure your boat At the sandbar? I've ordered two sandbar augers. One's yellow and one's blue.
Animal, no one.
So that's why I
didn't
that information.
Your guest talk, and thus he's getting negative feedback. Would you let him finish?
Who? Josh?
Your guest.
I want to know from some of the recruiters on the line. There's a lot of people here with good experience. Would they ever ask that question? I've been told to ask people, how do you stay abreast of your field? But not, you know, do you believe in a learning culture? That's a very broad kind of thing. And this question, what was the last book you read? That was kind of vague as well. Does anybody want to comment? Do you ever ask when you're interviewing candidates how they stay abreast, how they keep current? Anybody want to comment on that? 10, 9, 8, 7. Look, these people have nothing to say. What's wrong with them?
Kathy just kind of squashed it out here. We were having a good conversation, and then Kathy
spoiled it.
Flattened it.
Okay, let's go back to the guest. So we got this. What kind? Let's imagine not Jerry. We've got some other kind of candidate, and you ask that question. Let's go on with that about that learning question, Josh.
Yeah, go on. You mean where I was just at, or where what?
No, wherever you want. I want to know how to process that. It doesn't work for Jerry. We prove that, okay? I tell you, he's a good hire.
No, it was working fine for Jerry. But I want to continue with Jerry because, frankly, the key here is drilling down. You're not going to ask one or two questions. I'm likely to ask you about five questions in each of these areas to find out how you might apply stuff that you learn.
Okay.
I mean, some people really are curious and like to learn, and I want to know that. And I'm not going to ask you, are you curious? I'm going to ask you stuff about, well, tell me how you get information. What do you do with it? Once you get it, how do you apply it? Is it applicable?
Well, a lot of times, if it's looking for information, I'll go to Google and I'll look it up and I'll, do you take it straight from Google? I don't know about storing it or saving it. I mean, it might be a particular use. Last night, I wanted to know what you do with sugar snap peas, and I wanted some ideas on how people keep them propped up and growing up. I determined after looking at a whole bunch of pictures, I'm going to get like a little rabbit fence. And I'm on my way to the hardware store as soon as the show's over. I'm going to get a little rabbit fence, and I'm going to stick it in the ground there. I'm going to stake one end, and I'm going to stake the other end, and I'm going to lean the pea plants up against it, and then I'm going to use a few little pieces of twisty tie and just to get it started on there. So that's how I'm going to use information. Was that a good enough clear example?
That's a good example. So I got another question for you. You're going to teach someone else how to do that. How are you going to go about doing that?
I'm going to send them a link to what I just read on Google.
Yeah. Is that where you're going to stop?
Probably. Because it's fairly simple. It's get this little rabbit cage, hook it up for your plants there, and there you go. I don't think it's that much deeper than that. So I think we're using maybe a small example.
Yeah, well, it's an example.
I might teach my kids because one of them is going to help me stretch out the little rabbit fence. So one kid will be able to learn about snow peas and creating the proper habitat.
Yeah.
And then maybe he'll teach his kids someday and say, this is how Grandpa did it.
Yeah.
I'm creating a legacy from something I learned from Google.
I wouldn't hire Jerry on the basis of this.
Would anybody hire him listening to that answer? Here, I'll tell you how Jerry learns. If he gets a job order and he doesn't understand the technology, he goes to Wikipedia and he reads about it and he just gets an overview. He gets a feedback.
Shouldn't everybody? Or should I go to a seminar on SQL DBA development? Should I go to a seminar on that for 3 weeks?
The point is, he asked you a question. You ended up talking about snow peas instead of what you actually do on the
job. No, he asked me when I needed to learn something, what do I do? I tried to think of a story, Animal, a story. And I thought, hey, just yesterday I needed to know about snow peas.
I'm sorry, Tom Bolt is on my side. He says he's learning nothing about hiring for culture, but a lot about how to grow snow peas. That's totally irrelevant,
hey.
Josh.
And I will follow up with pictures. I'm going to do a before and after Snoopy picture.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying. We're not trying to hire for culture. We're hiring for fit.
Okay, sorry.
There's a difference
between the two. What is the difference?
The difference is, are you going to fit into my company?
Yeah.
And culture is this really, in my opinion, you know, it's like Jell-O. Who the heck knows what culture is?
Okay.
But I can tell you what fit is. Fit is, are you going to make it my company, and are you going to fit in, and are you going to do the stuff that makes everybody successful, and are you going to treat my customers with respect?
Okay, well, I think Jerry failed because he talked about something that was not relevant to work. Am I right or wrong about that?
I don't think he failed. I don't think he failed at all.
I gave a specific example of what he was looking for.
I'll tell you where I didn't like Jerry's answer. I didn't like Jerry's answer because he said,
okay.
Because he said, I said, well, if you're going to teach someone how to do this, what are you going to do? He said, I'm going to send them to Wikipedia. I said,
right.
Okay, well, what's wrong with that? Well, that's only part of it. Don't you need to follow through to see what they learned?
Maybe, but I'm not in the business of teaching people.
That's what I call a learning culture is you help people working in your company learn.
Yeah, well, we don't have that here.
Well, at some point you got to realize that you can't learn more.
That's
not something that's important. Look, there's no right or wrong in this stuff. It's just what is.
Right, yeah, I agree with that.
No, there's a right or wrong.
So you hire the guy who's right,
and you don't hire the one who's wrong. Somebody else wanted to say something. Who was that, Derek?
Donato. So at some point you got to realize you can't learn more, and you're facing challenges from sales, from marketing, from development, from business development, et cetera. So you've got to learn how to delegate the learning to people that are going to carry it out. So, hey, I need you to go and find out everything you can about Salesforce or marketing automation or something like that. So in a learning organization, which we definitely are, you get an article, you pass around to somebody, and there's you can use technology, things like Salesforce Chatter or Yammer, to discuss those things, and you learn together versus just dumping, here's an article, read this. So there's important things that the organization can learn as a whole versus just the one person, because you're limited. You know, as a chief executive, I'm limited what I can do, so I have people who are just dying to do the next thing, dive into something, learn about it, come back and teach me.
When Josh asked you about your culture, you didn't say it was a learning organization. That's the exact position a recruiter is in when they say, well, what's the culture in the company? What kind of company is it? The hiring manager never tells you because they don't know offhand. It's not something they've worked on or figured out, right?
It's a big question. It's a vast question. It took me by surprise, so it needs a long time. That's why I'm sure he's not in for 5 minutes.
Yeah, okay. Back to you, Josh.
I mean, if I'm a recruiter and I'm trying to recruit for a company, it's going to make me more successful if I understand how people fit into the company are successful. I mean, if I don't know it, I'm saying to people who are technically qualified, but once they get there, they may not work out very often. And frankly, I'm not sure if the company's going to hire me again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I want to get hired again. So for me, if I'm a recruiter, you can be darn sure I'm not in this business. But if I was in this business, I would be darn sure I would know what the fit factors are. Because I know if I get that right and I get the technical skills right, they're going to come back to me again and again and again because I get the right people for them.
Okay. What was the third one that you were going to ask? You gave us the five issues that to start off with, right? What's the
third
one?
Show respect for others and their ideas.
Okay. Anybody want to do a role play with Josh on this one? Mike Astringer?
I don't even know what's going on. Excuse me.
Yeah, he'll talk to you. Okay, that's Mike. Josh, you do work with Mike on that one.
I just said I don't know what the hell's going on here. So.
Yeah, I know, but you're going to learn. You're going to learn. Wake up and just listen to what he tells you. You run a company. Go ahead, Josh.
So, Mike, what company? You're the software company, right?
No, I own a recruitment and HR consulting company called Human Capital Consultants.
Okay, cool. So,
I think so. We already agree. How about that?
So tell me something. What happens in your organization? What happens when you hear a new idea that you're not especially crazy about? How do you handle
it? I'm the boss. I shoot it down.
Okay. And what happens? What do you think happens after that?
I tell them to shut the hell up and go back to work.
Okay, cool. You're not in it. You're out.
You want me to be honest about my culture? I got a kid sitting right here, Andy. You got ideas? Shut up and go back to work.
If I was interviewing for you for my company, you'd be out. It doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means it's not right for my company.
Uh-huh. How would a candidate find out that they were dealing with Tony Soprano when they came in for an interview, right? No, really, that's a good question, too. The candidate has to figure out the company culture. What are they going to say to the bot for this question?
Well, they don't They don't need to figure out the company culture. They need to figure out how they would handle the situations. You know, for example, in this particular area, the answer I would be looking for in this particular case would be, hey, here's what I would do. I would ask them questions and help them realize they have a boneheaded idea.
Why waste all that time when I could just tell them to shut the hell up and go back to work?
Because you can do that, but they're not coming to you ever again with another idea.
But you skipped over Animal's question.
Which is?
Yeah. How can I know that, let's say I want to work for a guy like you, and I don't want to work for a guy like Mike, or vice versa. How do I figure out what the practice is from the if the boss is like Mussolini or, like Barack Obama? How do I, whatever he's like, how do I figure out what kind of boss
Lion
I have?
Lion scumbag.
Well,
I'm honestly telling him to go back to work. Obama's a lion scumbag.
Yeah, how do I figure out that just the same thing, if I bring new ideas to the boss that the boss doesn't agree with, how do I figure out do I ask the boss the same question in reverse when I'm in the interview?
I would.
Let's say I bring you.
If let's put this way. If I was looking for a job at your place, I would know what's important for me, and I'd be asking you questions to let me figure out whether I'm going to like working there or not.
Well, what kind of questions would those be? Are they the same questions, essentially?
Well, I mean, if I was working for you, you know, for me, I value flexibility a lot. So I'd be asking some stuff and say, tell me about what you allow folks to do as far as coming up with solutions to issues. Mike's going to say, I'll tell you what, I'm going to tell you how to do the job, and you're going to do it. And I say, not my place. I'm not interested in being there.
Aren't most people, lying during the interview just because they're trying to get the job?
Well, they're trying to lie.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
the whole point with asking open-ended questions is you're going to get them to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they reveal themselves when they talk. I mean, it's all about asking good questions.
If I come
it really
if I
is.
To an
I mean,
interview and I ask you a question and I say, look, Josh, let's say I bring you an idea and you disagree with it and I want to press and I press you on that, what's going to happen here? Are they going to be wary of somebody who asks them a question like that?
You mean a boss?
The hiring manager, you've already shown them. I'm going to give you a hard time.
I mean, it depends on the culture of the company and what the fit factors for a company are. If that's how the company does stuff, they're going to be fine with it.
I don't know.
If that's not how the company does stuff, then you're going to find out real fast that you're not a good fit.
Hey, Animal.
Okay. Yeah.
I know you're going to think this is a joke, but it's serious. I have one book on my desk, and it's called Tony Soprano on Management, since you brought it up. look it up online. It's a real book. And I actually hold that book up during an interview, and I tell people what it's like to work for me. If they want to work for me, that's fine. If they don't, that's fine, too.
Uh-huh.
It's the best thing in the world. You know what's going to work for you with your employees, then your employees know what's going to work with them for you. And if they choose to opt in, you've got the right person.
Okay, what's the fourth
it's
one?
The companies,
so now we've got...
It's the companies that tell you, they give you the line of shit where you walk in there and you have one expectation because that's what you've been told, and the reality is completely different where you have this incredibly dysfunctional swinging door in companies.
Donato still with us? Juice Guy?
I am still here.
Did you ever rule anybody out because of a fit factor, as Josh was saying, or cultural issues?
Well, that's a can of worms. Yeah, I'll end the interview in about 3 minutes if the person's not a fit. And when I interview, I first interview for who they are. And if they're a prick, they're out. If they're arrogant, they're out. You know, there's a whole bunch of out things. But yeah, I disqualify people really quickly. But if I like them first, absolutely. It's who they are, and then and only then what they know.
Absolutely. Okay.
You know, and then
right
when
order.
It gets to what they know, why jerk around with questions? Here is it. You know, if they're an engineer, here's a screen. Here's a test. We like you. Good luck. We hope you pass this test. And it takes the personality out of it. Separate the technical side with assessing who they are. Do not mix those two. That's my.
How do you figure out just from your feel? 3 minutes, said. You know the person in 3 minutes whether you're going to like them or not. How do you do that? Just from your feel of them? What do you talk to them about for the first 3 minutes?
Well, it can be different for each person. But, you know, I've disqualified people like no eye contact, things like that. I mean, the things that, you know, somebody comes in, they're dressed, I don't care about messy. I mean, I'm in shorts and a T-shirt and sandals. But if they come in and they've got a mustard stain on their shirt, you know, that they're not taking it seriously. So some basic things that, but
you can tell.
I've done thousands of interviews. You've all done this. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, it's the things that
My point is that when you talk to a guy like you, I know you're smart. I know you're articulate way more than most people. And yet, let's say if I was asking you for the details of the person you're looking for and I asked something about the company, it's not something you've really ever analyzed or thought about. So you can't tell me. So that's what Josh has to give us, a list of things, I guess, to feed to the hiring manager and then hope the person's going to take the time to answer those questions, because it's my belief that
So instead of having this high-charged conversation, have a comms conversation with a hiring manager and ask them, tell me the five things that people have to do around here to fit in.
See, they haven't thought about that. They haven't, I told you, he's an exceptional person, I'll give him a good endorsement, just like I gave Jerry.
This is not a no-brain sort of thing. You got to use your brain.
Okay. There's a bunch of people. I just opened your lines. Do you have something you want to say, or are you calling in at the end of the show to talk to Jerry later on?
Hey, am I on?
Yeah, everybody's on.
Okay. Hey, my name's Todd Porter. I recruit a lot for international companies, and there's a lot of business culture differences between them. But, I mean... The only complaint I have with kind of what the guest is saying is he's trying to pull it out with questions. I, as a recruiter, when I talk to a candidate, I tell them what the hell the culture is and try to see if it is a fit, be honest with them. The last thing you want to do is the candidate to go in and tell them to play 20 questions to see if it's a culture fit.
Uh-huh. But how do you know then? How do you get that out of the hiring manager?
Well, let's say I was recruiting for Mike's company. The first thing I would do is I'd say to the candidate, let me tell you about the manager. This is how he works. He's a real a-hole. You know, if he's truly what he says.
Hey, you!
Know, but, seriously, if you're recruiting for a sweatshop, that's a culture. And you want them to know they're getting into a sweatshop. This other stuff that you've kind of been talking about is chemistry more than culture, I think. You know, sitting down in 3 minutes knowing. But it's the culture of the environment. I deal with a lot of Israelis, and it's a different culture. And I can define it for somebody, and then we talk about it. Can you deal in that? Most Americans can't.
But isn't evaluating somebody's chemistry
as it relates to the company evaluating their cultural fit?
You know, what I'm looking for more is, have they been in a similar environment in the past, and how have they dealt with it? And telling them, you know, what the situation is, and then letting them tell me kind of how it fits.
Okay, so hold on a second. Israelis are supposedly...
Excellent caller. I like this guy.
Abrupt and, you know, and things like that. If you started asking one of their hiring managers for the company culture, is he or she going to have something to say, or you're going to have to, or are they going to cut you off and you have to figure it out yourself? Because that's really what I'm bugging Josh about. When you go to the hiring manager,
if you ever ask anybody what their culture is, you're never going to get a reasonable answer. You have to ask them in this particular way: what does it take for people to fit in around here?
Yeah, I don't think they know that either. That's why I like your other questions better. They're very specific, like, you know, about learning. You did get information out of Jerry, at least. He didn't,
yeah, well, those are my,
you know, you didn't,
those are my fit factor questions. I already answered that question.
Let's go through the last two. I think we got to three of them, right? You got two more. Am I right about that?
Yeah.
So there was the learning one. Oh, there was the idea one. Is there one more after that or two more?
There's two
more. How do you handle ideas? Go ahead. What's the next one?
Knows that customers are the reason the company exists. And
how do you handle
again,
that?
It's a question you got to ask them and say, do they understand that companies exist because customers buy stuff from them? And again, you have to sort of ask questions around, you know, and say, well, gee, do you think customer service is important? You would ask them about, well, you know, tell me about an experience that, you know, tell me about your last job. Again, go back to the last job. Your last job you had, did you have any contact with your customers? What happened when you had a jerk walk in?
Uh-huh. But what if it's your time?
I'm listening for the subtext that the applicant has in their answer, not for what, you know, the obvious thing is. I'm going to drill down on, you know, if I don't like what I'm hearing or I think there's some inconsistencies or potential inconsistencies, I'm going to drill down. And I might even ask for another one.
Okay, but
I might say, you know, what makes a great customer? What happens to you when you have a great customer you're working with?
But Josh,
what
Josh,
happens
Josh,
when you're working with an average customer?
Josh, listen to me. You said you're interviewing for a CFO. What does a CFO have to do? How would that relate to the CFO, or is that for a salesperson?
Well, if it was a CFOs tend to work with customers. They often, you know, I mean, first of all, who is the CFO's customer? So one thing I might say is, you know, as a CFO, who do you think your customer is?
The CEO.
Okay. Is that it?
I don't know.
Well, if you're interviewing for the job, if you're interviewing for the job and you just said, I don't know, I'd probably say, you know, I don't think this guy gets the idea of customers.
Well, what are your guys? You've interviewed people like that. What did they say?
The person I wanted to say, I think that anybody needs information from me is my customer.
That's a trick question.
And it's my job to get them and what I would like to hear and see is, it's my job to get them the right information at the right time.
You ought to be a career coach. That's a good bluff in an interview. I think people would love to hear that, but I don't think anybody would come up with it on their own. Okay.
I just did.
Okay. What's the next question? What's the next question? What's the final question? The final fifth factor.
If understands the importance of mistakes as learning opportunities.
So how do you handle that one? Because I want to give you Jerry's secret question. I promised I'd tell. But go ahead.
How do I deal with that? I deal with that by saying, well, tell me something. When you make a mistake, what happens?
Uh-huh.
How do you feel? How do you feel?
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, you know, if they say, gee, I get mad, or I don't want to make mistakes, I don't like making mistakes, and then I ask, tell me something, how do you learn stuff? And if they tell me they learn stuff by, you know, because I just asked them how they feel about making mistakes, and if I ask them next how they learn stuff and they tell me they go read it in the book, I'm going to say they don't get it. If they say,
I know, I don't.
oh, gee, I guess I probably do learn stuff when I make mistakes. I say, okay, so tell me something. Tell me the best lesson you ever learned by making a mistake. And then they'll either get it or they won't get it. But again, you know, if you talk about the concept of mistakes with somebody, you're going to find out whether mistakes are okay for them or not. And more importantly, is it okay for others to make mistakes?
Okay. What about, I don't know if this came was in the question about the conflict of ideas. What about how they resolve conflict? Isn't that an important question? You haven't talked about it, or maybe you did, and I didn't realize it.
Well, it's all part of the part. It's all part and parcel.
Okay, you think that's built into that?
You know, showing respect for others and ideas is conflict.
Yeah. Okay. Jerry asked what their. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
What's Jerry's question?
He asked which NFL player is most like you, and if they say Terrell Owens, he knows they're no good.
I wouldn't even be able to know how to answer that question because I don't follow football that carefully.
Me neither, but I don't know. Maybe he's got a few variations about that. We talked about it before the show.
I think that the New England Patriots player that got arrested today is most like me.
Okay.
But if you were to ask that about tennis players, what would you think about if I said Roger Federer?
I know the name. I don't know. But is that a legitimate question? Because I have to tell you, some of the sites that I looked at,
I think it's an interesting question because it allows you to have. You can always ask why. I mean, once someone tells me the name, I want to know why they think that.
Okay,
it's actually a really good question because you can ask why. Why is a very cool question which is underused.
Okay. Hey, Adam,
can we clarify? I don't ask that question.
Jerry, you should own it because he said it's good. I actually got it kind of from Will Thompson's suggestion.
And I would also like to clarify, okay,
uh-huh.
My peas are the sugar snap peas, and I said snow peas. They're similar, but not the same, so I don't want to go on record
snow
pea problem.
Wrong person, but you're talking to the wrong person about peas. It's my wife you need to talk to.
Okay.
I have tweeted a picture of it. It's loading shortly. So
John,
y'all can check that out.
Your blog on the New York Times is called, what's it called?
You're the Boss.
You're the Boss. And what do you discuss there?
Yeah, it's called, my blog in the Times, my section of the Times is called Creating Value. I also blog on my own website 4 days a week.
Okay, what's the site?
That's www.stage2planning.com.
Mm.
You just click on blog.
Okay, and your Twitter is @AskJoshPatrick, right?
That's correct.
And what is stage two? Before we're finished, what do you do? Nobody really knows. I didn't say.
Okay, I do wealth management for private business owners. I help them create business and personal value.
Sounds like you're a management consultant as well.
Well, I am. I'm a coach. I'm a consultant. I'm a purchasing agent, and we help people make wise financial decisions.
Okay. Any parting words that you want to give us? Because we're going to go into Jerry's show, and you and I can't participate in that.
Oh, okay. I have no wise parting words, I'm afraid.
Come on! No singing!
Hey, Adam, before you...
I can always give you my favorite rock band quote.
Okay, go ahead.
You see what you want to see, and you hear what you want to hear. You did.
Thank you!
Oh, yes, baby.
Another non-recruiter telling us how to do our job.
Man, I've got nothing today. I don't even know where to go with this.
Yeah, like I said, another non-recruiter telling us how to do our jobs.
Nice guy. Sound like a good guy.
I liked him. I'm sorry.
Overcomplicating shit that don't need to be overcomplicated.
Hey, I jumped in today. Am I?
I don't know how this works. I've been a fly on the wall before, but is my mic still on, or am I going to get crucified somewhere along the line? Just like.
Oh, what we do is we kind of evaluate the show. We give Animal a score, and we give the guest a score. And oftentimes it's too much for the guest to be here because we try to speak openly and honestly. And we feel that sometimes if the guest is still there, we don't want to offer the valued, straightforward, honest critique that you might not get if we know that you're listening.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Hey, thank you. Take it easy.
Now get the hell out.
Now scram!
That's why I've been a fly on the wall. I didn't want to get beat up in here, but that's okay.
Oh, my goodness. Man, we have had so much rain here, it's crazy. It's crazy. All right, so I have this snow pea problem. Have you ever grown these sugar snap peas? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we grow them. We put them up along a fence, and they grow up the fence.
Yeah, see, I just planted mine straight in a row in the garden.
I'm looking at them.
Now they're laying down.
Stick some poles, and then run some rope, some twine between the poles, and then pull them up and twine them up, and they'll just start climbing.
Should we expect them to produce all summer, or just
no?
Because there's a batch
when it gets
on there
really
right
hot,
now.
It'll stop. I see they're producing already. You have some peas on there.
Yeah, don't those look nice? You
they
those?
Do. But they get they die off when it gets really hot. And it's been hot around here, so I don't know.
Yeah.
They look like they're kind of taking on a yellow cast. Or is that just
so,
a picture?
Yeah, so pick them and move
pick
on?
Pick them and, yeah. Pick them and freeze them if you're going to use them.
Oh.
Or eat them.
Okay. Yeah, guys, I don't know what to say about the show today.
Well, you said snap peas.
I don't care
peas.
About culture.
You said snap peas. You didn't say snow peas.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure, because I picked up snap peas.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Cool. Well, you see what
personally, I buy mine in that little silver can in the grocery store.
Oh, and I'm sure that they're just as tasty as these in my backyard.
What is that silver can? Who makes that?
Le Sueur,
yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's about the most expensive pea you can buy.
Can I say
that's
something?
That's how I roll. Maureen, frankly, that's how I roll.
All those peas
there,
and we'll probably have maybe three or four batches of them. Cost me 60 cents.
I know. Isn't that fun?
Oh, it's, yeah, and I love it.
I know.
So
Bob's
I'll take a
thrilled.
Picture afterward today.
Now, what do you have in between there? Straw? Because
no,
you're
just
keeping your weeds down.
Grass clippings. Well, that's what my woman is for, Maureen.
I see.
That's
okay.
Why I keep her around for picking
weeds.
Yeah,
right. I bet... I'll let her know. You'll have to pay me to stay quiet on that one.
Okay, somebody had a question that was, or a statement that was actually related to the show.
It was me. It's Kathy.
Hey,
Hi.
Kathy, how's life?
Fine. Maureen, it's so good to hear your voice.
Yeah, how are you?
I miss you. I may be the only one that really liked him, but it was interesting because I was having a conversation last night with an old coworker from a major company that I worked with for a long time. And he was saying how the recruiters that are coming aboard now are totally clueless because during the interview, the company culture is not shared, meaning, you know, there's tremendous metrics to meet, micromanagement, the rec loads are twice what they should be. And so you have to ask these behavioral-based questions and share the culture, I think, in order to get a good match. And you don't get a candidate walking into a job that they hate, that they did not expect. So even though this guy may not be in our industry, I think he had some good questions that he
and
asked.
And I didn't say I didn't like him.
No, I'm just saying, according to the Twitter stream, it seemed like I was the only one.
Well, just, you know, how many times have we been here asking... You know, an hour about how do you find out about culture? When culture is an enigma, you know, you really don't know. You know what people say their culture is.
What?
Culture changes from group to group. Culture can change when one manager quits and some other manager is hired.
That's very
and,
true.
And
but
so,
a huge company where they're, I mean, the numbers, Jerry, and the metrics are excruciatingly hard, and that's not shared –
What's hard? I'm just curious. What's hard? What's excruciatingly hard?
Well, recruiters that are carrying upwards of 60 recs and have to have all the candidates dispositioned out within 24 to 48 hours. And
who can do that?
Trained, I mean,
who would
that's
work
a lot.
There?
Yeah, who and could do that?
And people are not told that.
Huh.
You mean
so,
going in?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people are afraid to ask those questions. I'm not anymore, but I would have been maybe, you know, 8-9 years ago.
How are you going to use me and abuse me?
Yeah.
I just cannot picture working for somebody else, ever.
Well, you've been
Hallelujah.
Extremely, you and Mike have been a great example of how you can succeed, but I think it's very, very difficult. And Maureen as well. I mean, you guys have done, you're stellar, but it's hard.
We all know what Maureen's had to do to succeed, okay? But let's not. I don't want. I don't. We don't need to air that.
You don't
want to
be painted with that same tar brush.
Hey, I do believe we're coming down for a Kings Island trip this year. So.
Oh, good. When?
I'm thinking probably a weekend in August.
Okay.
When the corn's done.
When the corn's done.
Your little baby corns. We love those.
Really?
Oh, we had such a great time. Maureen is such a host, people. It just
I bet. One last thing I'm going to say. Let's talk about company culture. Did you guys hear about the guy that's being the CEO that's being held captive in China?
No.
In one of his factories.
No.
And they won't let him out. Yeah, it was
Who's
on the Today Show today.
Who's holding him captive?
The workers, because they don't like the company culture.
Well, they probably it's probably brutal.
I know.
Yeah. Communism is kind of a whole different deal, though, you know.
Is this in communist China, Kathy?
Yeah.
Wow.
No, it's in free China, Maureen.
Free China?
Yeah.
And he's given McDonald's and KFC for breakfast and then Chinese food for lunch. I think it should be turned around.
But
I guess this is the Kathy, Maureen, Jerry conversation that I'm not allowed in.
No.
What?
I don't
hey,
say
so, Mike. You're looking for another country that is, and I am too. I'm looking for the country that just went through all the crap and where they were taxed at 90% and the government ran everything and it all crumbled down. And then everybody realized, hey, the only way to go is complete freedom, autonomy,
well,
a little bit of regulation
that?
From the government, capitalism. No taxes.
Well, where are the old
parties? Well, you know, based on everything you said, plus the vote on gay marriage, our country is very, very close to that crumble right now, our culture at least.
But see, everybody thinks, oh, it couldn't happen here. It's slowly what's going on.
Sure it is.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It's
you know
bad.
What? I'm going to put my Mercedes and my Harley on my boat and just float to whatever country will take me.
Yeah,
well,
why
man. Not just float? Why just not live on a boat? You know,
ooh, there you go.
You know, these timeshares, they have these big, huge boats, and they, you know, sail around the world, and you can rent a room on it for, you know, I don't know how much, but why not do that?
Why
or
not?
Meals? Yeah.
Why not?
And I actually could do that, because I'll tell you something. I was, a couple of years ago, separated from my wife for 5 months, and I lived on my boat, and I was perfectly comfortable there.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a bad idea. Do you know you can deduct the interest on a boat? Did you know that, if you're living on it?
Or if you're using it for business, right? Cause I,
or if you're using it for business, that's right.
So we're talking about my boat right now in a business scenario, so I think I can write it off for this month.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not?
Absolutely. You could, well, if you do it one
you
month,
know,
you've got to do it all month, I think.
I live in
I'm
such,
not sure about that. But
I live in such fear of the IRS that I wouldn't even mess with any of that stuff. I don't deduct any part of my home for my business office. None of that. I mean,
yeah, I
none
either.
Of those games.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, I probably pay way more than I should in tax just because I don't want to.
Because
them,
you're afraid. Say it.
Yeah.
You're afraid of your government. Are you listening, FBI?
In all seriousness,
my husband
I have a business.
He's
seriously.
A federal
business
judge, and he
who,
won't. Oh, sorry.
What?
I'm sorry, I was just saying I have a business partner who manages the finances of my business. He owns a little piece, and he's a CPA. And because he's a CPA and because he'd be afraid of jeopardizing his CPA license, we have to be 100% on the up and up also in those areas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it really, though, you don't know if you're 100% up and up or what. I don't understand
it. It doesn't matter if you're 100% up and up with what's going on nowadays. That's the sin of it.
Yeah. Hey, let's get a guest score real quick, because I don't want to drift too far from the topic. Mike, what do you think of the guest?
My thoughts on the guest are this. I have a client, or a hiring manager, one of my clients who's been with the company like 43 years, and this guy could have been him. He's very old school in his thinking, in my opinion, and I think he's overcomplicating something that's very, very simple. So, and frankly, the first half of the show, I couldn't even focus. He just was not catching my attention. So I'm giving him a 50.
Okay. All right. Mm-hmm. What about for Animal? Quickly.
Funny enough, I think he left Animal kind of speechless, too. Animal didn't know where to go either. I'm going to give him a 70.
Yeah, it was kind of just like a slow roll. Maureen?
Oh, I'm going to have a tough one with this one. I like the fact that we have people come in from other industries, because I think we can learn a lot, you know, by their...
I learned, once again, nothing.
Oh, well, you know, I think we can learn from their, what they think of our industry and where they see the problems and where they see what's good, what's bad. But all told, I'd give them a 70, and I'll give Animal, you know how I feel about Animal.
Yeah.
Give him the high mark. The one that gets thrown out.
No, come on. See, have some credibility. Have some credibility.
Thrown out. What does it matter?
It's important.
Okay, I'll give him an 80. And I give him the 80 because he shows up every week.
Yes, he does.
Yes, he does. And he stays at
for
it.
Little,
and he prepares.
Little pay.
He prepares for this show, unlike many of us. Before our shows. I'm not referring to Jerry, although I don't think Jerry does a lot of preparation. Do you, Jerry? You just kind
of
roll
with
it.
What I do is, kind of avant-garde. Okay, what, Mike?
I was just going to say, I know he's listening, and I just believe he'd get much higher scores if he hired a booker.
Yep,
a booker.
I agree. Kathy, what do you think? Give me a couple of scores.
I liked him. I really did. And
okay.
I liked his questions. I thought he handled the criticism or the, you know, sort of.
Yeah, he was pretty smooth about it.
Yeah, he was. I really liked him. I'm going to give him an 88.
Okay.
And I'm going to give Animal, I think, well, except for you guys got off track and wouldn't let the guests talk for a while. But I'm going to give Animal and a 90, because he actually brought someone more seasoned to the table. It may not have been in our industry, but it wasn't someone who's only been in the industry for maybe 6 months and wants to sell his skills.
Okay, good. Who's that?
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
There was a contract recruiter saying that he was looking for a new gig in New York City. Like 2 days ago on Facebook, I tried to dig up who it was. It wasn't over on Animal's recruiting group over there on Facebook, but somebody posted somewhere they were looking for a contract in New York, and I can't find my link on it or whatever. I don't know who it was. Is that helpful?
If you happen to see it, I'd appreciate you letting me know.
So if somebody's looking for a job, I just can't point in the right direction, so...
And if you are looking for a job, don't forget that my favorite book is Tony Soprano on Management.
You guys are great. I'm going to start winding down for the summer. So, Mike,
are you really coming in August? Really?
Yeah.
Like
I was,
yeah, okay.
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Just talking to the kids about it the other night.
Okay. Brianna will be so excited. Can I tell her, or should I wait?
No, yeah, you can tell her, sure.
Okay.
We're trying to... find a place to. I want to find like a bungalow to rent, you know, for a week in I don't know, Fiji.
Mm-hmm. That shouldn't be hard now.
Well, but because I'm going through these things, and I
talk
Fiji
Rayanne.
Now seems like really far.
Skills.
So now I'm thinking maybe Costa Rica, Nicaragua.
Really, be a man without a country. Is that what I'm hearing?
No, just for a week. Yeah,
for a week.
Well, all the kids, we all have our passports and stuff, so I just want to go somewhere.
For you, for all of you, or for
yeah,
just
Nicole keeps digging up all-inclusive resorts in Cancun, and I'm like,
no.
No,
don't do that.
No.
You want an all-inclusive.
How about St. John, St. Thomas, St. Croix, San Martin?
That's kind of a far plane ride. Like in Martinique is too, and St. Martin's, I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Look at Club Med. Club Med does a fine job.
Can I be
beaches?
Your kid?
What?
Can I be Jerry's kid? I need a weekend.
Yeah, really?
You
Club
know?
Med does a fine job, Jerry.
Club
and
Med?
There's a guy in New York who, if you book through.
Isn't that just for sex tours and stuff?
What?
Isn't that mostly
no.
sex tours?
No. There's a guy in New York, if you book through, he gives you 10% back. Hold on a minute. Bob?
Jerry, I don't know why you're overcomplicating.
Some New York bookie.
No, seriously.
Jerry,
if you book your tickets through
him,
he'll give you 10% back. It's as cheap as you can get.
What's the problem, Mike?
What's the guy?
You know what? I don't know why you're overcomplicating the whole thing. I spend a week in Atlantis every year. It's my favorite place on earth.
Is it really? To where is
you
that?
What?
Paradise Island in the Bahamas.
Bahamas?
Okay.
Paradise
me,
Island
I mean,
is so commercialized, Mike. Really? You would send them there?
I go there for a week every year. I love it.
And does everybody look just like you, laying in the lawn chairs with the big gold chains and stuff?
Exactly.
Yeah. I've seen the commercials.
Mill
it looks,
Travel.
It looks cool.
Jerry, Mill Travel. The guy will give you 10% off.
Mill Travel.
He thinks
and he's a Club Med guy.
Hmm?
He's a Club Med guy.
He's a Club Med guy. And if you book through him, he'll give you 10% off. And, I mean, that's, you know, several hundred dollars, you know, if there's four or five of you.
Yeah.
I mean,
so,
it pays something. Pays
but
for Maureen, something.
You think Atlantis is... Because, you know, our kids are 12, 10, and 8.
I wouldn't... Oh, I see what you're saying.
And
yeah.
They want water slides and all that fun stuff.
But I don't
it's
like
so expensive. It's so commercialized. I mean,
I hate public water.
Public water.
I do, too.
Pools and recycled.
Yeah.
Little kids blowing their noses and peeing
I know,
in there
and they pee
and
in
stuff.
Their pants.
I'm a fanatic about it. Because you know, I've got a hot tub, and I know how easily water can go bad in a hot tub.
Yeah.
I just can't trust.
Mike, where do you stay there? You stay on Turtle Island?
No, we stay right at Atlantis, or our condos behind the marina at Atlantis. We stay in there.
You stay by, what's her name's place? Oprah Winfrey's place.
I
know
no
where
you're
there. I know what
is.
You're talking about. What that? That's a,
but like when you
that's
walk,
a high
when you
rent district.
It is a high rent district, but it's worth it. But you know what? We have all the amenities of the Atlantis resort without the crowd.
You do? Do you own
yeah,
it? Maybe Jerry could rent it from you.
Actually, my friend owns it.
God, I want to go.
Maybe Jerry can rent it from your friend.
Jerry, let me tell you one other thing while we're talking about travel. Don't forget that at the end of August, I'll be returning my son to the University of Notre Dame Law School in South Bend, Indiana. And I'm making it a point to come out because I want to experience country living for a day.
Yeah, man.
Got to do a video. You have to record that whole thing.
Maureen, they just don't know what they're missing, do they?
No, they don't. They really don't.
They really don't.
They got those high taxes and those high real estate prices. High food costs, high insurance costs. They got all that. We don't have
You know, I mean,
that.
The high point of my week is finally, because I look every day, the grass finally gets high enough to mow again. And I'm on it.
Yeah, but
I just
want to hear, aren't you mowing twice a week with all the rain?
We got a lot of rain today. Mm-hmm. I need more vacation spot ideas because we go camping for 2 weeks with the family up in northern Michigan. That's July 11th through the 26th. The first week of August, though, because we've got our passports and stuff, and it's right during a perfect time for me, I want to go somewhere.
Jerry, that's hurricane season. I mean, you're heading into hurricane season, and the weather can be really dicey.
I don't care.
Really?
You know what? We were down there during hurricane season last year. The sun was out every day. It was beautiful. We didn't worry about
really?
It at all.
Well, you can buy insurance for that, too.
So you
idea.
Stay right by Atlantis, but not in Atlantis, right? So you want to do other
things? No. We're on the Atlantis property, but we're not in the hotel.
Are there sex clubs down there?
You can pretty much buy whatever you want down there.
Okay, but, because I'm taking my kids, or maybe am I thinking Sandals Resorts?
You're thinking of topless beaches and stuff. They'll tell you if it's a topless beach. But sandals.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to accidentally stumble into something like that.
Sandals probably has a nice place on Paradise Island. It used to be called something else. It's where, I'll tell you what it is. It's the place where the James Bond Casino Royale was filmed. Do you remember him outside the casino? That's the property it was filmed on. And I think it's
Sandals?
Owned by Sandals now, yeah.
So is Sandals just one place or what? I thought
Sandals is an all-inclusive club, but they have a place on Paradise Island, I think, don't they, Jerry? It's not over where you are in the high-rent district. It's
You're
before you go
Mike.
Over the bridge.
His name's Mike, not Jerry.
Oh, Mike, I'm sorry. Mike?
Yes?
Before you go over the bridge. You know,
we're after the break. We're right on the Atlantis property, but they're condos.
I know. Well, you're after the bridge. I'm talking about before you go over the bridge. You know that property used to be.
I wouldn't stay before the bridge.
You would not?
Uh-huh.
In a sandals?
No.
In a sandals? It looks like it's been all redone. That's the place I'm talking about.
Nassau is a hole, and, you know, the crime is high there and all that. So once you get into the resort, here you're on Paradise Island, everything's much different.
You know where I've never been is the Turks and Caicos, or
Turks and Caicos. I've heard about that.
I've always wanted to go there. Now, do they have a family thing there now? I think they do.
I don't know. You know, when you start looking around, there's
you
so
want
many
a family resort.
Things. It's like, oh my God. So then you read reviews, and like five people are like, wow, the staff was great. It was very. Then the next review is this place was a rundown shithole,
mm-hmm.
and everybody was nasty. Then the buffet style food was sickening. I asked for a regular sandwich, and they said no. You know, so then I'm on done with that place and move on to the next. So I need to find someone that can vouch for a cool spot.
Find one that's like two years post hurricane, because that means it's all rebuilt and everything's new.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
And see, Jerry, why I won't go to an all-inclusive, because I want to go somewhere where I can eat what the hell I want, when the hell I want to eat it.
All-inclusives are great for kids. He's got three little kids.
Yeah.
And if you go to, like, one that is like a kids' club, like a Club Med, they have circus schools. The kids love it. They take care of the kids from sun up to sundown.
So Club
Atlantis
Med
has a water park. Atlantis has a water park that the kids would love.
Well, yeah, I'm sure they would. I mean,
Club Med, is that like in several locations?
Yeah, they've got locations all over the world.
Really?
Yeah, look them up, Club Med.
Hmm.
Been to several.
Mill Travel.
Bob says he's in Florida, and the guy will give you a 10% kickback on all your tickets.
If
you book through him.
And he's just some dude. It's not like 50 people. It's just this Mill Travel.
Yeah, it's basically him, I think. And he's got a big Club Med following.
I went to Nebraska last weekend for the weekend. That's my vacation for the year. I'd never been there. It was such culture shock.
Why?
Oh, my gosh. You talked about the buffets. I have never seen bigger women in my life.
Oh, yeah.
At these buffets.
There's nothing wrong with the big girls, Kathy.
What?
That's the corn-fed Midwest for you.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Right. They're not trying to sneak into a bikini.
Well,
they're cooking up some good food,
here.
And we like it.
I just have never, I don't know. I feel like an alien. I don't know.
Kathy, did you get to eat in Waffle House?
I'm going to put you
No, but we did have a Runza's, you know what those are?
Oh, what?
Runza. They're like a meat-filled dough thing.
No.
With French fries and a soft ice cream cone.
You know, Jerry loves to entertain his clients at the Waffle House.
Where? At Outback?
I can see where this is starting.
There's nothing wrong with them at Outback. Get you some of those onions.
I tell you what. We just hit the...
You know how many calories are in those onions? It's like 6,000 calories.
Oh, no doubt.
I personally like Taco Bell, and we can get in and out of there for $15.
There you go.
For five of us.
I like Taco Bell.
I do, too.
Yeah.
Kathy, you know Mike is kind of a high-end guy.
I know. That's why I want to be his kid or his, you know, whatever.
That's why I want to see
Kathy, are you pandering?
If my kids want good food, they need to go out and pick it.
Yeah. That's the truth.
I just want to know if Jerry's going to make me take off the diamond pinky ring on the farm.
No.
But you guys have got to film that, please. I mean, it's got you've got to do something.
Well, you guys all have.
I want to see Mike, like, you know, go hunting and be on a horse or whatever.
I've been to horses before, but
is that your typical picture of what you just think redneck hillbillies do, Kathy?
No, it's what you post. I mean, you post all these hunting pictures and all the fish, like hundreds of fish. And I'm thinking, how can he eat all that fish?
The funny thing
I mean,
is, you know, because Mike talks about
laughing.
You know, Mike talks about good food and that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
You can't get any better than fresh fish, fresh game, fresh garden stuff.
But how much can you
stuff.
Eat of it?
What's that?
If you eat squirrel, you don't eat squirrel, right?
I would, but I don't want to clean them. They're kind of a hassle. The skin kind of
sticks. What about rabbit?
There. Oh, I love it.
Oh, my God, you should come to my house. There's like thousands, and they creep me out.
Hey, I tell you what. Get a
you
BB
those,
gun.
Yeah, those hairs.
Get a BB gun, because they're easy.
Pop
them in the head, and you pull that just like you're taking off a sweater. You just pull it right off. Hey.
We just bought a new barbecue, too.
Yeah. No, you would want a slow pan fry them, just like a chicken.
Do you eat
the
ears?
They're great.
Oh, my God.
Very good.
Hey, Jerry eats deer.
Oh, yeah.
We go up freezers of it, Kathy.
Colorado, I'm just not, it's even a culture shock here.
I bet.
Well, see, in Colorado, unfortunately, the deer and stuff out there, they don't have as much access to grain. Well, maybe in eastern Colorado. But here, these deer are just like cattle. They're eating corn, soybeans,
mm-hmm.
apples. I mean, it's just like a small cow.
Pasta,
you just go out and get
flowers.
Oh, I know. My son lived in Russellville, Arkansas for a while, and the pictures that I saw posted from his friends, I mean, they were like 13 with these huge animals on their cars. I was like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, that's redneck stuff. Okay, everybody, I hope
you're about to. I'm about to lose the tasty cake cupcake I just ate.
Goodbye, everybody. Have a great
Jerry,
week.
One last thing. We got a canoe, a big canoe. So all of you can fit in the canoe and go down
really?
The river.
Really?
You know,
that sounds
us.
Like
yeah.
fun.
All right.
A fun time will be had by all.
All right. See you, everybody.
Bye.
Mama! I don't want to die. Sometimes we should never been born at all. Carry on. If nothing really matters.